It's time to redefine and align to the badass leader and mother you really are. I'm your host, Nicole Weston. I have been coaching moms for the last decade on aligning to what they truly desire so they can be present with their family, create the most successful business, all while having it all. We're going to be talking to moms all around the world who are diving into what does it mean to take care of myself? What does it mean to redefine motherhood so I can live it on my terms, so I can have it all? It's time to rise, and here's the thing. We can't do it alone. Join us as we have some of the most important conversations about how moms are taking their pain and turning it into their purpose. Let's dive in. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode on Redefine and Align for the Mom Who Wants It All. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being here. It means so much to me that you are here. There are only so many minutes in the day, and I absolutely appreciate how much you enjoy the podcast and for listening. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Keep the feedback coming. So welcome. Today we are going to dive in with a beautiful conversation with Ivy. I'll tell you about her in just a moment, but I wanted to let you know some super exciting news. We have officially hit over 3,000 downloads. That is the most exciting thing ever. Oh my goodness, I can't even tell you how that makes me feel. I guess I'm going to try. I have so much gratitude. I have so much love. I am so beyond grateful for each and every one of you who have tuned in and listened to the most incredible stories of mothers who have been in the journey for a while or who have just started out, but all in all are willing to share their side of the story of how they led themselves to lead a life full of love. I want to take a moment and acknowledge every mom that has come on this show. It has been an incredible run. 3,000 downloads, guys. This is amazing. Oh my goodness. It makes me just so excited. It means that there's 3,000 plays. It means that people are receiving exactly what they need. And it means that everything that I ever wanted, the stories I wanted to share, the mission, the purpose, the why, everything is happening. And I just wanted to take a moment to be able to express my sincere gratitude and absolute excitement for how far we have come. We are in season 2 and we are nearing the end of 2020. We've got a few more episodes before the year ends, and yeah, I just want to take a few moments between now and a few episodes to just thank you. So if you haven't yet, please leave a review on the site. You can do that on Apple and subscribe. That way, when you subscribe, it will update you every time we launch a new one, which is every Wednesday. And I would love a rate and a review. So if you haven't yet, you can definitely follow me online on Instagram at the Nicole Weston. And if you haven't also followed me on Facebook, you can find me on Facebook at Nicole Weston. And if you want to join our private Facebook group, it is called More Than Moms. A few questions to fill out, of course, and then you are welcomed into the group. It is a beautiful group of like-minded mamas coming together to really take time to put themselves first before all of the things that go on with our day. So I wanted to put that out there. And it is a great way to share with me some of your questions that you may have with our episodes. Maybe you want to share a few ideas of what you'd like to see in the future. So I love feedback. So please send me a message. So I want to remind you that right now in this time, it is all about really taking notice of where we were a year ago and really creating that space within to reflect and acknowledge. It has been a big year. a lot of change, a lot of transitions. And even with all of the stuff that is going on, we are able to find the silver lining. And in each and every one of these stories, you can hear it. So today, I want to tell you about Ivy. Ivy and I, we have known each other for a few years. Actually, I don't even know how many years right now. But she is the most incredible, most powerful woman. She's actually currently launching the Magnetic Love Method, and it's designed for single women or moms over 35. It is all about their best self transformation to attract the love that you want. I love it. I love it. I love it. She is truly passionate about living a life of joy and taking care of the self through peak performance and also helping busy moms achieve that peak performance, because it's not just for athletes, it's for moms. Like, we do a lot. So she's working with busy moms who have earned the title of being peak performers to feel their best so they can be their best selves when it matters the most. So you can find Ivy on Facebook at Ivy Marie Love and Facebook, that was Instagram. And on Facebook, you can find her at Ivy M. Lim. So I wanted to say a big thank you to Ivy for holding this space today and for sharing her story. We dove deep into what it means to redefine motherhood for her. We talked a lot about that transition between being a single mom and the work that it really does involve to, you know, uncondition from the beliefs and the limitations from falling in love with the self, and what she did to attract a very healthy relationship. And she shares all of that with us in this episode. We also talked about the importance of self-love. And if you didn't know me before this podcast, self-love is a huge piece of my inner work for myself and the work that I do with clients. And I really love what Ivy shared about, you know, kind of like before doing the work and after. So before it was like, yeah, of course I love myself. You know, like, of course I do. Like, I take care of everybody and I do everything for everyone. And like, I love myself and I love people. And then doing that inner work and diving in and really, truly, truly knowing what it means to love the self. And we dive into all of those pieces. And so it's a really great conversation. We talked so much about the importance of self-development and the yin and yang energies and just how to embody that, embody the self-care practices to really create that connection with self. So I am so grateful for Ivy. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you have any questions or feedback or want to share with us, please post it. You can send a message, like I said, to Instagram or in the Facebook. We are live every Wednesday. I shouldn't say live, but a new podcast goes up every Wednesday. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. And let's dive in. Thank you so much for being here, Ivy. I'm just so, so, so excited. We have been just talking before I hit record, so I'm really curious as to where this is all going to go. So thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, it's going to be so great. So why don't you tell us a little bit about where you are and what you're up to and what's, you know, what you've got going on right now today?
Well, I guess just in context of being a mom and in context of what's happening in the world. I mean, I do have my 9-year-old at home. I am a real estate agent, but I'm also making a really big push this year, especially with the COVID opportunity.
Nice.
To really build and launch my coaching business on a full-time basis as well.
Cool.
So before COVID, I was in California just before March break at the end of February. And I was in the Flow Genome Project doing their Flow Peak Performance Certification Program.
Okay.
So at least I got a little burst of the outdoors and nature and sequoias and the redwoods and then being with other awesome human beings before quickly going into lockdown on the way home during coming home. So yeah, just balancing all of that, trying to keep my 9-year-old happy and thriving. And then we have my disabled stepchild at home too. So we have vulnerable needs at home mm-hmm. that we have to be particularly mindful for. So it's been a trying situation like most people.
That's right.
But, you know, we've been pretty lucky here in Canada, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's been a whirlwind. It's been a mind fuck. It has been a blessing. It is, you know, I've talked to many moms who have really kind of anchored in or grounded in on the silver lining within all of this, you know, stuff that is going on. So, yeah, I love that. I love that. So my first question for you today, this is where I always like to start, is, you know, what does redefining motherhood mean to you? And, you know, why here? Why redefining motherhood? How does that show up in your world?
I think for me, I've just always, I mean, from the get-go, it's been unconventional. And that is something that I had to struggle with. And I actually tried to go along the path of a regular, what I thought was, you know, the suburban mom with a minivan. Mm-hmm. So I had my first daughter when I was 22. I was in university. Mm-hmm. I gave birth to her in August. So no one, and I wasn't showing through most of my university years. So I came back in September, and even my good friends were like, "What? You had a baby over the summertime?" So I was really, you know, I mean, obviously it's a huge transition being a young mom. I didn't, even though I was in a relationship at the time, I didn't know it was going to end up, he was going to end up being, you know, what they call a deadbeat dad. I don't like that term, but it's everyone understands it. So at the time, I didn't know, even though I was in the relationship with her father, I didn't know that I'd end up being a sole support parent. Right. You know, he ended up being a deadbeat dad. I don't like that term, but everyone seems to know exactly what it means.
What that means. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But I was, yeah, I didn't anticipate that shortly thereafter, I'd be a single mom at the age of, you know, 22 going on 23. So mm-hmm. I've always, yeah, I mean, I didn't have a choice. I decided to make this powerful decision of my life. And I've had to redefine motherhood out of sheer survival and choice, right? And then later on, 16 years later, I met the gentleman that I'm with now. It's been 12 years, and we have a blended family together. Mm-hmm. So again, it's another unconventional. I mean, no one wishes, and he was married for 17 years.
Right.
So he wasn't anticipating, he's very much a family man. He wasn't anticipating being in this position in his life either. Mm-hmm. But again, it's redefining family, redefining motherhood once again. So I became a full-time stepmom to his disabled child. Mm-hmm. And then together we have a child together. So we have a mine, his, and ours.
right. That is, what have you learned the most through all of it? So like from the beginning to where you are now, what has been the one thing that you have stayed true to or connected to? I mean, I don't know if there's one thing. What do you think has been the biggest thing that has evolved as your family has evolved?
I think for what I finally learned is really, again, not comparing yourself to other people. Mm-hmm. It is always it's never a good road to go down. Mm-mm. And you're also dishonoring yourself, and you're not giving credit to what you've done. Mm-hmm. I mean, even the littlest things like, you know, co-sleeping.
Yeah.
So when I had my first one, we co-slept all the time. It was just her and I.
Right.
And it was funny because, you know, by the time they're 10, 11, 12, they don't even want to be in the same room as you. And like, no one told me that. Like all those years of like everyone, you just hear that, you know, co-sleeping is not healthy. They should learn to be on their own. But you know what? They are going to get there. And so now having another one 16 years later, I do let her sleep with me. I love it. I love the cuddling. Mm-hmm. I think it's just honoring what works for you.
And what feels good.
Yeah, and what works for your relationship and your own sanity.
Yeah.
Right? And why fight things because of that's, you know, that's what it is in the books. Mm-hmm. That's what we're conditioned to believe about ourselves. Mm-hmm. Just do what works for you, what works for your relationship at the time. And yeah, that's it. Really just stay true to yourself. And I think too, also, kind of being a single mom, doing everything on my own, and then transitioning to having a partner.
Yeah.
Yes.
Share. Yeah.
Yeah. To share responsibilities and decisions. And that was a difficult transition. Like, he actually had to tell me, you are not a single mom anymore.
Yes.
Right. So, yes.
So like, let's like the trust factor. Cause I'm just going to go off. Like, my mom, raised me. I think I was like about 9 or 11 when the family separated. And so then it was like majority of my, you know, early years was watching a single mom do both roles and do it all. And so I found myself very quickly go into, well, you know, I'm in a committed, you know, relationship, yet I'm trying to do it all. And so I can totally relate to that experience of like them looking at you going like, you're not like this, like I'm here, but then there's this like element of trust. So like, how did you trust? And it's like this, I'm doing it all because I can control it. And I can trust that I can control it. And then there's that element of like, yeah, but if I give this to you, are you going to do it?
Yeah, it was not easy. I think the control that I had really stemmed from fear, especially right. from being a single mom.
Right.
Right. It's like, yep. And it's not a healthy way to keep, you can't thrive like that. It eventually eats you up inside and you burn out. And I eventually burn out when I was a single mom. I was in a corporate job and I ended up burning out because everything you're doing is from fear. And it's a real fear. It's like, you're the only one paying the bills. You're the only one putting food on the table. If you don't get it done, it's not going to happen. Or someone's going to go hungry and you're not going to be able to put gas in your car.
Right. Like it's real. It's a real thing. It's absolutely real.
It's visceral. It's real. And it's overwhelming in your in your system all the time. So to have somebody finally support you and trust and let go of that and know that, wow, you don't have to come up with 100% of things. It did take some work.
So there had to be some like intention, like receiving, like I just would see that as receiving. So like all of a sudden you go from 100% to now sharing, like you said. How did you go through, or what was your experience like when it was like time to receive the fact that there wasn't just you now?
It all boils down to, and I know you love this too, because you were a big self-love person not too long ago. Yeah. So you know that it really comes down to self-love. It does. It allowing yourself to be deserving, allowing yourself to feel worthy enough. And for me, that was really, it was a practice that I had started in order to even get this healthy relationship.
Right.
Yeah. So in order for me to manifest this relationship, it had to start with me. And I did not know I didn't have self-love. I mean, I took care of everything. I didn't even, of course I love myself. I was doing everything.
Yeah, right? Of course.
But it's all a facade, really. It's just it's a facade of pride. It's a facade of survival technique. Mm. But then I think that you know you've hit self-love because you really get the profoundness of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's for me to say then, oh, of course I love myself. But for me to say it now, it's like, no, like I know I love myself. Yeah.
It's like, and this knowing versus like, I love myself. I do the bubble baths and I get my nails painted and I love myself. I get that pedicure. It's like, no, but knowing, like without a doubt, like I got myself, like I've got my back, you know?
Yeah. And to even be able to say that is a big deal. So it's to really know that and to really feel that. And that's when you know you've hit it. Yeah. Because I can see like a lot of people when I speak to a lot of other mothers and they say, yeah. And then you get down to the nitty gritty, they're like, you know what? I don't even know if I like myself.
Right.
The decisions they've made, the mistakes they've made, the way, you know, the self-flagellating, the guilt. They're like, you know what? I don't even know if I like myself, come to think of it.
Right.
So it is a process. I mean, it does go with all the self care, self-love practice of meditation and, you know, doing the work around getting your coaching and a little bit of therapy and you know, surrounding yourself with people of like-minded.
I love it.
Mindsets and stuff. So it's not, it's a messy road.
Okay. So that's what comes up for me. So I just go, okay. So if at what point did you go, cause so you said corporate and then you burnt out, right? At what point did you say to yourself, okay, something has to change? Like, I think it's really interesting to hear for moms at what point we decide it can't go on like this anymore. And I think that point is different for everyone. Their journey looks different for everyone. But what was that point for you when you were like, okay, can't continue to do it this way. Something has to change. How did you know what to do, or what did you do? Like, maybe share that with us.
You know what? It came down to physical. I mean, I had gained a lot of weight.
Okay.
I wasn't, at the time I was even in a marriage. I was married for a period of time for two years.
Mm-hmm.
We were trying to conceive and I couldn't get pregnant. I actually had two ectopic pregnancies.
Mm.
So your body knows when it's giving up.
Oh my God. I have so right? many goosebumps.
Yeah. Your body knows. And it's, you can't sleep anymore. It's like, and you're tired all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not just your regular, oh, I'm
like mom tired.
Yeah, yeah. Mom tired. This is like a deep fatigue where you just don't have the inspiration and it's just an overwhelming fatigue. It's like you're on your period, like all day,
all the
long, all the right. time, right? That kind of, those times in your cycle.
Mm.
And then you have no choice after that. You're like, you just know you can't go on like this anymore. And that's when I first started taking the first steps into self-development courses. And
okay. So you went to self-development and self-help. So what was the thing? Like, what was the thing that, cause I always know we can connect the dots looking backwards. So if you were to connect that dot where you were like, okay, I'm like, I can't go on anymore. What was the first thing you saw that led you through that path? Do you remember?
Well, a friend of mine at work across the corporate cubicle aisle, you probably remember, recommended a program and he couldn't piece it together. He's had so much excitement for it.
Mm.
And I went, okay, let me see. I was curious. I said, something has to change. And then I just kind of went with that program and it was a game changer. It was an absolute game changer. It was about taking full responsibility for your life. And at the time I was in the period of blaming other people, blaming the circumstances, mm-hmm. blaming my ex, blaming the father.
Mm-hmm.
But it turned me around saying that, no, you are solely responsible for everything that happened to you at this point, and you can also turn it around. And life got harder, right? Now it's like, okay, now I really hate my job.
Right.
Even I have a choice. I don't have to. So I started making the transitions into, being self-employed.
Wow.
And then from that was my first transition for self-development, is actually moving out of a soul-sucking corporate job.
Okay.
And then eventually into my own personal life and personal relationships.
Hmm.
Right? Because how you do everything is how you do anything is how you do everything.
That's right.
So, yeah, and it was really just taking on, my meditation practice is key for me. There's mm-hmm. nothing, and exercise. Because
right.
I've always been relatively athletic.
Right.
But during that period in time where I was getting completely drained and burnt out, I totally let go of my physical health.
Right.
So I went back on eating clean, back on exercise, started meditation then. That's why it's like over 15 years ago now. And that was it. So now anytime anyone ever comes to me with something, it's like, how are you eating? How are you sleeping? How are you minding?
Yes.
Right? Because yes. those are your foundational things.
Yes. That's the back to basics method. Like, that's what we talk about in my sessions all the time. It's like, if you're not sleeping, there's nothing I can do. And like, there's definitely things we can do to improve your sleep, but like sleep and eating and just slowing down.
Yeah, and moving. Oh,
That's okay. This, I say to moms all the time, this is life of motherhood. Like I want, it's good. It's a good, if
she's
we hear the kids.
Tomorrow. She's on the staggered start.
Yeah. I think one time it was with Laura, we had like one of the buddy or a Toy Story, like toy go off for quite a bit. And I was like, I can't hear. She's like, I can hear it.
But yeah, that is the foundation. And I think as moms, we're conditioned to put ourselves last. We're actually made to feel guilty
if we put ourselves first.
Yeah, when we don't put our children first, when we don't put our family first.
It's like, mind.
Who made that up?
I know.
Probably a man. Doesn't do it anyways.
Right? I know. We were having this conversation today in my squad group around like, it's almost like, I don't even know. It's almost like, wow, women are very powerful because they birth life. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. Like this old idea, this old belief, this old philosophy that I was like, wait, no, they can't know how powerful they are. No. Right? And then it was like all of these things. And it's like that guilt, when guilt is driving that bus, it just confuses like actual human needs with like, you know, like we need to slow down, we need to eat and we need to sleep. And if something's getting in the way of that, like that's not serving us anymore. Right? And I'm just going to go right back to your co-sleeping experience, because for some moms, co-sleeping could actually not help them sleep. And for some moms, it could help them sleep. So it's like, again, staying so in tune and connected with what feels good for us and not what's in the book. Like how do you know what makes you feel good? Do more of that. Do more of what makes you feel good. That should just be the most simplest truth ever.
Yeah. Without the conditioning, without the comparing, without even looking at what it says in the book.
Right.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And I think too, I mean, being the biology of being a woman, right? We do get more anandamide, which is the bonding chemical.
Yeah.
So that certainly doesn't work. That easily comes into play when we're mothering, because we are biologically primed to mother. Mm-hmm. So it makes, and then you get, you know, the societal rules and the mother's guilt on top of that, all the conditionings that, you know, you're supposed to put your kids first, your kids' needs and your family's needs before yourself, coupled with the extra anandamide we have already. It's not a good combination for someone looking to take care of themselves.
And looking for someone, like, I also think like the generational beliefs that are passed down and like are in the DNA cells, it's like, it's just no longer working. And I just feel like there's so many women who are saying, I am so much more than a mom, and being a mom is phenomenal and I love it all and I do it all, but I also love other things too. And I want to have it all. And there was this like weird phase of like, women can have it all. And then it's like, we rejected that we can have it all. Cause we're, you know, it's like all of these different phases of evolvement. And I feel like we're back at, well, actually, we can have it all. And it starts with taking care of ourselves first. It starts with that.
Like you can have it all, but then inside you're like completely burning out.
Right.
Right. You are doing it all, but then you're, you know, there was that statistic not too long ago where they said women working are still doing 60% more of the housework at home.
Yeah.
Right. And that's not to say that, even for me, like I actually had to tell my husband that I needed him to help around the house more. It was like, he didn't realize that I even needed help.
Right. Because of the condition. It's like program. Like this is just what you do.
Yeah.
And then like leaning back into that. We're having so many conversations right now around feminine and masculine energy and the yin and yang around that into relationships. And just this whole idea of what it means to lean back and just trust. And how when we aren't leaning back and trusting, it's probably because we're protecting this idea that we don't want to disappoint ourselves or someone else or be disappointed. And I was like, I just took a masterclass with Alpha Femme, Melanie Ann Lair, and like she brought
this. Yes, I know. I was there too.
Okay, right?
I've heard that one. Yeah.
Okay. Like I'm going, and she says, mothering energy is masculine. I was like, sorry. I think I paused it and just had to take a moment. I was like, what? Sorry, what? Mothering energy is masculine energy? Sorry.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing when we think about, and I know a lot about yin and yang. I get it. Because we do that a lot in feng shui. There's actually a whole, like, yin and yang is like, it's the one of the first foundational principles.
Yes, go there. Bring it in.
That you learn with feng shui, because feng shui is, historically is based on the Tao. And the Tao was the one that came up with the actual yin and yang symbol. And what I don't like about it these days, because it is kind of trending now, but it has nothing to do with bad or good.
Nope.
It has nothing to do with gender roles.
Nope. Nothing.
The men role or the woman role. There is a female and male, but it is more towards energy.
Energy.
There's a masculine and a feminine, but it's nothing. It has nothing to do with right or wrong, bad or good, or male or female. And that is the thing that people keep missing the mark when they're talking about masculine and feminine energy or yin and yang.
And that's what we were talking about. We were saying, you know, ebb and flow was a really great way of explaining it because you're taking the gender out of it. Yin and yang takes the gender out of it if it's a new concept. And it's one of those things that it's like we all innately have those energies inside of us. And so when we start to decondition from like, where am I hanging out more often? And I remember being in my business and coaching other moms in business going, when you lean back, when you play, when you rest, that is like, I'll just speak for myself. That's when the most success happens in my business. There's this like ebb and flow of taking action and then leaning back. And that is the most success. But deconditioning from, oh my God, if I don't do, what will happen if I'm not doing? And it's like, that's the conditioning that needs to be broken down is like, when I'm not doing, what happens? Because I know for me, the generations before me, they did not, there was no playing.
It was
no
all
resting.
do. Well, that's the thing with even the yin energy. Yin is feminine. It's going within. Mm. Masculine is the yang energy. It's going without. When you give birth, you're going without. When you're mothering, you're going outwards.
Yeah.
You're not going inwards. It's a yang energy. We've actually been, we've been conditioned to think that motherhood is actually a feminine thing to do. Actually, no, in the real true sense of feminine energy, of the yin energy, it's going inwards. Mm. It's actually death. Mm. It's actually into the ground, back into the ground. It's retreating inward. Yang is outwards.
Wow.
Giving birth is outward.
Whew, I've got body goosebumps everywhere.
So it's like, it's the mothering is actually a verse, so the men should do more mothering.
Right. But like, and also that's the kind of conversations too around like when I am over mothering or when I am so much in my masculine doing energy, I've also like, I have found the ebb and flow when I'm more overtly, then I'm not making space or room for him to be a dad. I'm not making room or space for him to show up. And then that creates so much resentment in my body. And in my mind, and then it's easy for us to stay at the surface level and be like, well, you're not doing this and you're not doing this. But when we break it down, we go down into the deepness of it. It was like, well, I didn't make any space for you to do that. I'm trying to control how you parent her, how you do this and how you do that. And it's like, I come back to,
and then they're afraid to step into the role. Right?
Totally. Cause I've taken any opportunity of safety away. And then I think it's important too, to distinguish, like we have a healthy relationship. We're in a healthy relationship. And so I can have these conversations, but I remember thinking like when he went back to work after our daughter was born, like nobody was there with me. I just had to figure it out. And then like, so when did I decide that I had to figure it out for him too?
Yeah.
It's
going back to the ebb and flow.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Going back to the inward outward energy, going back to balancing everything. Mm-hmm. And then again, creating that, because the yin and yang is about a cycle. Yes. It's a circle.
Yes.
And you have to go through each of the cycles in order to keep creating. Mm-hmm. But even with creation, there's a destruction. Mm. Right? So there's always, but the destruction has a purpose. So even that time where you have to, he went back to work and you're thinking about what it is that you need to do, like you're kind of in a destructive mode. From there, you're in a restorative mode. From there, you're back into creation.
Right. Creation. Wow.
Right. So it is that all the cycles of life, that's what the yin and yang essentially is. It's a cycle of life. It's the ebb and flow. It's the in and out, the dark, the light, not the bad and good or the male role or the female role.
Right. It's, yeah, it's like the foundational. And I think too, like looking at it through that lens gives so much space and permission to just be like, to just be like, for me to just know that it's a full moon, I'm like, okay, that's why things are really intense right now. And just knowing that is like permission to just go, okay, that's what's going on. Instead of, oh my gosh, what am I doing wrong? Instead of all of the thoughts or beliefs that could come up around, what am I like, my, I would say that my belief that potentially follows me a lot is, what am I doing wrong? Did I do something wrong? You know, I can release that as many times as I want in a coaching session. I feel like that's something I come back to. And it is that kind of like calibration. And then when I go deeper than that, it's like, oh, like this is just the way, this is just where I'm at right now. There's like these different perspectives of looking at it that either give us permission to practice or put all of this weight on us and like just sink us even deeper. Does that make sense? I don't know if I'm making sense.
So exactly. Well, every time you're in a phase, a different phase or a restructive phase or restorative phase, like well, the society doesn't allow for that.
Thank you.
Right?
Yeah, I know.
It doesn't allow that.
So true.
Society is built on the go, go, go energy. Yep. It's based on that very masculine go get 'em tiger. Energy. It's only recently, thank God, that you know, self-care and all of self-love has become in the mainstream. It was back in, I don't think it ever really was back in, but I mean in the mainstream now. And that has really given a break to women.
I agree. I also look at COVID as just this pause. Like if I just look at the one element of like everything stopped, there's these moments of pure chaos for sure, and fear. And then there's those moments of like pausing. And it's like, that has to be that inward energy of like going in and slowing down. And there's been so many conversations I've had with moms around that slowdown has shown me what I need to make a priority when life starts to go forward again.
Yeah. And that's, it is definitely a gift from COVID, because collectively we all did it. Collectively, we had no choice. We couldn't go out. We couldn't seek external things anymore. We were all looking within. We were all feeling that anxiety, that fear. And then we had to, again, wrestle that and check in. Is it real? Is this fear real, right? How much of this anxiety is real? When will it pass? So we had no choice but to ask ourselves these questions, whereby some people would have never had the time
to ask
or the experience to even ask these kind of questions. And it usually happens with any traumatic life.
Yeah, incident, absolutely. Right? Absolutely. Yeah.
That's the time people really get a chance to pause. And if you even allow yourself, because again, the society doesn't even allow your, you know, you get what, 3-day bereavement period.
I know.
Right? It's like, okay, yeah, you get your bereavement period. Now you got to go back to work and pretend like nothing happened. Like,
yeah, it's like, so. It's an absolute mind F. And I think something that I've been really passionate about is like, okay, so what can we learn from this? We need to learn that when we're sick, we need to stop. And you know, how many people have to go to work even though they're sick? Like that just seems so unnatural as a human to make people go to work. It's like to not have paid sick leave just seems so irresponsible. And now we're saying, okay, well now if you get sick, you actually have to stay home for 14 days or seven days because you actually need to protect everybody. But it's like, how come it hasn't been that way before? But we've all been running to the ground. And if we don't show up, then we don't get paid. And that has even more consequences. And it's like, when we take it from a human standpoint, it's like, yeah, like you, it's okay that you get sick. That happens. You shouldn't get punished for it. And you shouldn't have to make a decision of whether you're going to put food on the table or whether you need to go to work and be sick. Like that doesn't seem right.
Yeah. So it was definitely a gift. It was a gift to this society of ours for sure. I mean, we're still in it. So
we're still in it. Yeah. It's one of those
hopefully
gifts.
We'll learn and be able to exercise the lessons in more funner ways and outer ways.
So after all of this, you know, something you have said, was just this idea. So you found self-development, that you were curious, you found self-development and you've moved forward with that. And you have also mentioned to me that peak performance is not just something for an athlete or an artist or a high level corporate executive, but that it's for moms too. So tell me about that.
Yeah, because I mean, peak performance is essentially when you feel your best, you perform your best. Well, guess what? As a mom, we're always on, right? Like we're on when we have to load our kids into the car and get them to dance lessons on time. We're on when you're in your wife role, right? Being a partner to your husband, you're on then. You're on when you're doing your business, right? Because you're always, it is a performance.
Right.
So I think, and even what you said with the full moon phase, like if you just take the time to, and the thing, the aspects of peak performance really does boil down to all of the self-care,
right?
It's minding what you're eating, eating for optimal performance. And most of the time, again, because we don't have we're just so worried about what our kids are going to eat. We don't even eat, or we overeat, right? We eat for the wrong reason. But again, minding how you're eating, how you're sleeping, and how you're moving, and minding your mind. Right? All of that is essentially to help you become a better human being in general.
Right.
I mean, we always look at athletes or like, you know, performance is generally with athletes, right? Like they need to, they're timing things, every second counts. But with moms, it's the same thing.
I know.
Every second counts. You're trying to get out the door and then get your kids off to school and then make your business call. Those minutes count too, right? So, and how are you able to do that in a way that is, that you can thrive and not feel under pressure all the time?
Right.
And oh my gosh, I just wish I had learned this when I was a single mom, because I was at my wit's end all of the time. But yeah, as soon as I started really engineering those moments, like you said, with the full moon, it's nice to have it when you have, when you can tack it on to something seasonal, like a full moon phase or equinox, or so you like to, what we call engineer your moments of self-care. What are you doing on a daily, weekly, monthly, and quarterly basis? What are you doing every full moon to make sure you check in yourself, take care of yourself? And it gives you a different reframe on taking care of yourself.
Yeah, it's so much power. Yeah, there's so much power. Yeah.
It removes any guilt or any, I shouldn't spend, I don't have time for this. Because actually, no, you give yourself this time and you're actually going, it's a reinvestment in yourself. So the idea of treating yourself like a peak performer, just as a regular busy working mom, it puts a whole new, I don't want to say credibility, because we're credible as it is, but it does give you a new accreditation, a new level, a new higher standard of how you treat your body and how you treat your life. Right? So why would you dismiss your workout in the morning? Why would you dismiss your meditation in the morning?
Right.
Because you don't have time for it because you're so busy. But no, if you're a peak performer, if you're a top performing athlete, these things are on the schedule.
Totally.
So once you, as a mom, as a working mother, treat yourself as this peak performer, it's a no-brainer and a game changer.
It's a game changer. Yeah. And it's one of those things where it's like, I think there's a lot of honor and respect that come with like this peak performer, kind of mindset, because like athletes, like you just look at like athletes, or you look at like, just like that integrity. And I just wonder, like, it's like almost like the integrity is for the child because of generational ways of doing things. And it's like, we're not doing anything. There's no right or wrong. It's just, we need to be treating ourselves like we are the most important person, and then creating the habits to do that. And the compassion, right? That we don't know, we've never done it this way before. So like the compassion that like, it's okay to want to do it. You know, it's these beliefs that are getting in the way. It's like reframing, what does time mean? You know, it's like reframing, what does time mean really for us?
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's okay to want to do it, because again, we've been conditioned that we're supposed to put everything, our children, ahead of our own needs. It's mm-hmm. honorable to do that,
mm-hmm.
right? If you mm-hmm. if you don't do it, you're selfish. You're being selfish. Like, how could you? No, this is how you operate. This is your standard of being able to thrive through mm-hmm. this thing called working motherhood.
Yeah. Well, it's just that standard of living. Like, what is that we want it to be? And really holding ourselves in a space of like, even the fact that if this rubs me anyway, if this lights me up in any way, that is like, I'm designed to want that. Like, we're wired to want what we want, and wanting this like different way of being a mom and being a business owner and doing life differently. Like, just because we want that means there is a way to do that. You know, there is a way to do that, and we are worthy of wanting that. And how do we create the space? How do we break down those beliefs and these expectations of a man and a woman in a relationship? Like, there's so much that can come with that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, too, on the flip side of it is that when you aren't doing it, like when you don't look like that Instagram mom, too. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of, you know, as much as it is also inspiring to see other mothers doing it, it sort of gives you a false sense of, you know, what is your standard for yourself, right? It's, again, you have to kind of, there has to be that balance where, you know, you can do certain things, but you don't have to do it all to that mm-hmm. level necessarily, but you have to do it enough so that you can thrive in your own life. Yeah. It's just that, I mean, basically people aren't, a lot of us aren't even at that level.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. Right, of thriving. We're just reaching all the time, or struggling all the time. And I think if moms give themselves that title, right? I am a peak performer. This is what it takes for me to do. And then, but I mean, habits create it. Success breeds success. Like, you'll eventually, once you get those success habits, it's it becomes innate. You embody it. It's part of your being, and you'll see the benefits that come out of it.
That's the embody word has been top of mind. And I think that that's truly, as a collective of mothers, it is this embodying this new way of being, and that it's like, it's not a hustle anymore. It's just a way of being. And like, just for me personally, this idea that I can do it my way, I don't have to do it the way that the man is, because I was designed to do it my way. I was designed to give birth and raise a child and do this the way that I want to do it. And I don't have to do it in the do, 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 do. And how often I can get trapped in that box of doing, right?
Yeah.
But I think being mindful.
Of wondering how you look with other people or what. I mean, we've been lucky because we've surrounded ourselves with people who support our lifestyle.
Totally.
But there's a lot of women who don't. There's still a lot of women who still are struggling with cultural and gender differences and gender
Absolutely.
Roles.
Absolutely. Yep.
Right. So it's really being able to break through those boxes
and find the people, find that community. And I think that's what this redefining motherhood is this community of people going, that doesn't work for me anymore. And I think the more we tune into what feels good for us, the more we get closer back into who we are and who, like, knowing us without all of those generational beliefs passed on to us, we can then feel secure in who we are. I mean, at least that's what I'm working towards, getting more and more in tune with what feels good for me outside of what everybody expects of me.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Letting go of the expectations that's been passed on to us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's why I love what you're doing here.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. So if mamas want to find you and follow along, where can they find you? I will definitely post everything below, but what are you up to and where can they find you?
Well, basically it's, the typical social media outlets.
Yes.
I'm at Ivy M. Lim on Facebook, and then Ivy Marie Love on Instagram. And then my YouTube channel, Ivy Marie Lim, Ivy Marie Love is also coming.
I love that.
Getting revamped. So I'm getting excited because I've been getting subscribers there. And
cool.
I haven't been doing much. So I just need to focus a little bit more on that
amazing
outlet.
Cool. I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, love. And well, we'd love to have you back.
Thank you so much for listening. I want to hear from you. What did you love about today's podcast? What are you feeling inspired to do differently? Find us on Facebook at Redefining Motherhood and tell us all about it.
You can also follow along on Instagram at the Nicole Weston. Here's the thing, we were never meant to do this alone, and it is time to redefine motherhood and live it on our terms. I believe we can have it all, and I believe in order to do that, we've got to do it differently. Follow along and let us know. Be sure to subscribe. We drop a new episode every Wednesday.